Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The 49ers haven't officially named a starter for week one, or have they? Did Jimmy G spill the beans yesterday? Trevor Lawrence locked in as QB1 now. Does he have, quote, greatest of all time potential?
Knock that around a little bit.
And LeBron thinks the NBA should have their own Hard Knocks. Couldn't agree more. Good Thursday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Great show for you today. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds. We got Greg Jennings with us now. But Nick, I'll ask you, my favorite show, Hard Knocks. Your favorite guy, LeBron. Yeah. You in on this or not?
Yeah. Oh, I'm in on an NBA Hard Knocks. It should not be the Lakers, however. We will talk about who it should be later, but it should not be the Lakers, however. But yes, NBA Hard Knocks, good idea.
For you.
Kevin Wilds could probably produce it. He's probably already negotiating that, I would imagine.
All right. We'll talk about that in a second. But we have to start up in New England with a Patriots issue they haven't had in two decades, a quarterback controversy. And guys, this one's a doozy. Pats and Giants had a joint practice yesterday where Mac Jones reportedly lit it up. So lit that Pats beat writer Tom Curran, who was there yesterday, said, listen to this, he said, there's no on-field reason for Cam Newton to ever take a meaningful regular season snap for the Patriots while Mac Jones is upright and able. Boom! The week-to-week, day-to-day, play-to-play competency of Jones for the past 3 weeks has, in my estimation, and those of most of the people watching every rep, put to bed all debate about who is the better quarterback for the Patriots in 2021. Jones' performance Wednesday in the Patriots' 150-minute joint practice with the Giants, it tucked debate in and turned out the light. Wow! We got something to talk about for Kevin Wilds' Patriots. But Nick, I'm going to let Wilds simmer a little. Start with you. Now, Cam Newton actually returns from COVID protocol today. But has Mac Jones officially won the QB competition?
Oh, I don't think he's officially won the quarterback competition. I think Tom Curran did what Tom Curran is sometimes prone to do, which is lean into hyperbole, and that's why he's great. That's fine. I don't think the competition is over. However, I do think this is a lesson for all the viewers out there, whether they're aspiring pro athletes or not. This is why it's dangerous to miss work. I know it's very in vogue amongst people my age and younger to get on social media and be like, take all your vacation days. Self-care. Yeah, okay, that's fine, but you might get replaced. Like, I'm a big believer in it's very hard to get rid of the guy who's always there.
Anti-self-care.
It's a hot take. No, it's not.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, you know what? You have even more time for self-care if you're unemployed. Like, you got all the time in the world if you're just scanning the job listings. And Cam Newton missed basically a week of work for totally preventable reasons. And now all of a sudden, he might have a lot more of missed work for preventable reasons, which is Mac Jones might take his job. And Greg, I think Bill Belichick wanted and planned and hoped to start Cam Newton week one against the Miami Dolphins. I think those wants and plans and hopes are now very much in the air. And I don't know that Belichick wants to do that anymore anyway. So, yeah, I don't think Mac Jones has officially won the competition. But I guarantee you it is closer right now than it has been at any moment since the Patriots put the pick in. And that's Cam's own doing and a credit to evidently how well Mac Jones has played over these last few days of practice.
Yeah, well, Mac Jones obviously has done his job because he has everyone in New England talking about him and his performance, which is what you want to do when you are given this type of an opportunity. Cam, on the other hand, he's done what what most veteran players thinks is okay and that they can get away with because of what they've done and what history has proven and provided and shown us that I am this player. I am great. I can bounce back. But when you decide to do something that puts the team in harm or in jeopardy or puts a coach in an unknown and unfamiliar territory, it is hard to rebuild and restack that trust. And so when I look at what Tom Curran is saying, I find it hard to believe that Mac Jones has outright won the job in 5 practices. However, I will say this. I've been in a situation when I first got into Green Bay, and I was in a very, very competitive receiver room. Donald Driver was the number one guy, yeah. And we didn't know who was going to be number two. Robert Ferguson was the guy. There was Rod Gardner, former first-round pick, a lot of other guys. And
tell us how you took their job, Greg. Tell us how you did it. I want to hear it.
A couple of those guys got injured. I was healthy. Yeah. I was there every single day. I performed excellent every single day. I popped.
Put the team on your back,
every single day. And I put the team on my back.
Yeah.
But it created open door for me to be the only one being seen and talked about. And in this situation, that is what Cam Newton has provided for Mac Jones, which is why, Wilds, it is going to be a much more difficult situation and decision for Bill Belichick and staff to just outright hand the job to Cam Newton.
Yeah, so I think he might end up handing the job to Mac Jones. And this has been a rising tide. Oddly, we haven't seen any video of this practice. We've just seen a bunch of reports. So, like, I was in a kind of a tough spot. I was like, I can't get up to Foxborough. There's no video. So, you know, football season's coming. So I had to send a friend. Old Ulysses comes back with a report from Foxborough. Guess who is returned from Foxborough with the news? Oh, he's a little bit damaged, but he's back. Oh, it's a long trip from New England, my friend. It's okay. If we can show the petition of some of the news that he has brought back to me, I'm listening. Don't worry, Ulysses. Boom, Mac meeting the moment from Mike Reese. What else do we have? I think our guy Evan says Mac shredded the Giants starting defense. Jeff Howe gave us a double whammy there. Mac had 18 consecutive completions and also a surgical 35 for 40. I don't want to get too excited, although I am excited and I brought a bird onto the set. But Nick, and this is just practice, but you know what it felt like? You know who else started to make a lot of noise in practice? Old Patrick Mahomes. You started to hear the rumblings out of Kansas City. Ooh, this Mahomes kid in practice, he's doing things that we've never seen before. Have you seen reviews like this out of a guy that there was question marks about? I don't know, Mac Jones. It has been overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Not one person said, hey, you know what, Mac Jones? Okay. You know, it's the one person who didn't like Forrest Gump. Like, not a fan. What? Stop trying to be unique. Yeah. It's like your take on self-care. You're like, everyone agrees with it. Nah, not me. No one. He went 100 for 100 for reviews, 100% on the Mac Jones Rotten Tomatoes rookie QB rating. I couldn't be happier.
I want to be with you. Well, all right, I'm happy for you and I wanted to be with you. But you're like a gymnast that has these unbelievable in-the-air vault routines, and then every time when it's time to land, not only do you not stick the landing, you end up falling off the apparatus entirely. Like, it always happens. You have the makings of a great take, and then you can't land it. You're like, hey, you know what reminds me of Mahomes? No, it reminds me of almost all the reviews we typically get about a guy who had a good practice. But that's not the point. The point is they were really good reviews about a guy who had a good practice, and the other guy's reviews are nothing because he was on Zoom. So I'm not ready to give it 100 out of 100 Rotten Tomatoes rating, but the other movie's not in theaters anymore. And so that, and this is a tale as old as time. The younger, cheaper person, I'm not talking about in sports, just in the workplace, is there. The veteran, more expensive stalwart for, you know, takes vacation, takes time off. All of a sudden, the bosses are like, hey, that guy can do the same thing the other guy does, or maybe can grow into the job. And gosh, it sure looks like he's going to be around longer, and he's under contract longer, and he's less expensive. Why don't we just go with him? That is what happens across workplaces in America every day, and it is what the NFL has built a massive amount of its business model on, which is why, to Greg's point, if you get injured, there's nothing you can do. But what you need to not do in New England is get caught in a snowstorm, you know what I mean, have reasons that you could have been there, but you're not. And this is a 5-day ordeal for Cam that was totally preventable. And I think, Greg, I'm going to, you know, mix the metaphor a little bit more. To me, this is now for Cam, the COVID stuff or the COVID protocol stuff is going to be treated almost like a player with a nagging injury. Meaning like, okay, even when he gets back to full health, we know he's here now, but do we have to worry about this flaring up again? Like a guy with a hammy that gets tight on him. Because until he gets vaccinated, and it looks like he won't, they are going to have this hanging over their head repeatedly, which is he going to have to be pulled away again? And at that position for this organization, I don't know that that's a tenable situation.
For any organization, Nick, the one thing that is completely talked about all the time is don't hurt the team. When teams have a big win and the coach gives an extended amount of time, Victory Mondays we call it, the first thing and the first message that is spread is don't be smart. Don't do anything to hurt the team. Don't do anything that puts us in a position to where we have to answer questions for you. And I get it. It's a choice. It's a decision that every individual has to make who has that right of being vaccinated or not. However, it puts Cam Newton in a tough situation. And for a coach and an organization who has the mantra of do your job, and the one thing you decided not to do was do your job, that is hard to come back from. That is hard to stand in front of 53 men and say, you know what, we're going to hand you the job because you didn't do your job, but that's all I ever talk about. That's all everyone ever knows around here is do your job, you get a pass. That's going to be what's going to be very difficult for Bill Belichick and staff to just, like I said, hand it over to Cam Newton and not really, really, truly consider Mac Jones.
That's right. Someone might be getting Wally pipped. I don't know. So the quarterback battle in New England still TBD. In Jacksonville, no longer the case. They named Trevor Lawrence the guy. So does he have GOAT potential in his future? We don't talk about Trevor Lawrence. Why don't we do that on the other side? First things first on a Thursday morning.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Let's play a little drawing a blank. Jacksonville Jaguars with a what took you so long move. Officially naming number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence the starter yesterday over Gardner Minshew. Could have been done sooner, but Urban Meyer wanted Lawrence to earn the job. So, Greg, your confidence level that the much-hyped top pick Trevor Lawrence will be a superstar is blank.
100%. 100% confident he's going to be a superstar in this league. Yes, I know. Everybody says, wait, don't say 100%. Nothing's guaranteed. This is guaranteed in my book. When you look at the two pieces that are coming together, let's start with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, obviously Ohio State. Success all the way up, like two national championships. He understands how to build around great players and make them work together to achieve an extremely difficult task. Now you look at Trevor Lawrence. He's the player. He's the ability. He's the talent. He's won at every level that he's been at thus far. And what I see about Trevor Lawrence is he doesn't make it about himself. And so when you put two men, two gentlemen who understands what it takes to win, who has what it takes to win, if you put them in the same room, why am I to then now all of a sudden doubt that they are going to have success? I'm not going to do it. I believe Urban Meyer has a plan. He's going to put that plan together. And all we have to do is see it come to fruition. A superstar in this league, that is what Trevor Lawrence is going to be. That is what he already is as far as a name. Now his play is going to take him to that level.
I'm a little angry at my teammate Greg Jennings because, and I don't normally say this, Greg Jennings has my take, but it's a stronger, better one because I'm at 95%. I was at 95%. The only reason I'm at 95 is like, it's the Jaguars. They could screw it up somehow because they're the Jaguars. But everything he said about Trevor Lawrence, I fully agree with. And there are two reasons, though, that I'm going to add to it that Greg didn't mention. And Kevin Wilds, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you name one of my two favorite things when it comes to evaluating prep players, when I'm looking at guys, how good they're going to be? Do you know what they are? There's two things, because Trevor Lawrence checks both of the boxes. Go ahead.
I'd like to say, Wilds, what is it? I would like to say that you're on Pro Football, you know, Reference and Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders and looking at air yards per attempt. But unfortunately, that is not the case.
Anyone can do that.
I believe that that you prefer the measurables, the more tangible neck size.
Neck size and Rivals high school rating. Check. Check. I'm a big high school rating guy. Guess. Oh, I am. That was back from yesterday. Guess what? Lamar Jackson, star throughout all high school. Josh Allen, two-star recruit. Nah, it's a little skeptical. Trevor Lawrence, superstar in high school, superstar in college, and a big, thick neck that can take NFL hits. These are the things I care about. He's going to be a superstar. I can't go 100% because he plays for the Jags. But other than that, he checks every box you need, Wilds. 95%.
It does. Okay, I mean, there's only two boxes. One is how well you play in high school. Two is neck size.
I prefer Gatorade Player of the Year. I'm a Gatorade Player of the Year guy. All right, I'm at 96%. I tried to Price is Right rules, Nick, just get $1 more. Suck. Although Price is Right oftentimes works the other way. Greg, question for you, since you're at 100%. Do you have Justin Herbert at 100%? And if in hypothetical world, it was like, hey, would you trade Trevor Lawrence for Justin Herbert?
In a hypothetical world, I would not trade Justin Lawrence.
Okay.
Justin like Herbert for Trevor Lawrence. I like where Justin Herbert is, and obviously we've seen him perform. I think he's going to be a terrific player. But for me, when we talk about the tangibles and the neck size and the high school rival and all of that, and what Trevor Lawrence has been able to do, he has proven that you don't question whether or not he can get it done. It's a matter of, can he be put in a position to be successful? And that's why I believe Urban Meyer is the right guy, because they're going to give him that opportunity. They're going to find a way to figure it out. And you got to understand, when people are driven, and Urban Meyer is one of those individuals who is driven to succeed, I just don't see why anyone would doubt that. I see if you're not a Jags fan, but outside of that, no, he's going to be successful.
That's right.
Okay.
He's going to be awesome.
All right, well, one final test run for newly minted QB1 Trevor Lawrence. He'll start the preseason finale Sunday in Dallas. And speaking of Dallas, because that's how you speak a transition into reality, let's talk some Cowboys. Is it Super Bowl or bust for Dak Prescott this season? When you wish upon a drone-led star, Nick. That's what they say. Greg, thank you so much, buddy. Have a great day. Back of former Pro Bowl corner Brandon Flowers. Time to run the no huddle. Here we go, Brandon. Let's head to Dallas. Dak Prescott taking part in throwing during 7-on-7 drills yesterday. Head coach Mike McCarthy calling him, quote, a caged lion. He's a competitor, he said. So, Brandon, what does Dak need to do to consider this season a success?
It's really three just basic things that he has to do to consider this season a success. Play all 16 games, because Dak is the most important, the most consistent player on this team. And this team is offensively driven. So he definitely needs to be available for this offense to get going. That's the only way they're going to win games. he definitely has to win the division because this is not a strong division. He should be able to play at an elite level and win his division to be a success this season and just win one playoff game. I know Cowboys fans think every year is their year to win the Super Bowl, but the defense was atrocious last year. And Dak, if you go in, win a division, and win one playoff game, to me, Nick, I think that would consider this season a success for Dak.
So I'm going to take it. I agree with your first 2 points entirely, but I'm going to take it a step further. For the Cowboys and Dak to have this season be a success, they need to finally, mercifully, make a conference championship game. I know it's America's team, and they have the prettiest uniforms and the best facilities and evidently the greatest drone operators, all of it. I get that. But they have not made the game. They have not been a game away from being a game away since they last won the Super Bowl. They have not. Think about this, guys. In this century, every team in the NFC has made the Super Bowl except for Detroit, Washington, and Minnesota, and the Cowboys. And in that same time frame, the Cowboys haven't even made a conference championship game. The Vikings, since the Cowboys last made a conference championship game, have made 4 of them. Everyone else is going to the Super Bowl except for the 2 sad sack franchises, Detroit and Washington. It's kind of outrageous. And so that's where they need to get to. They had a golden opportunity, Dak's rookie year. They had a decent opportunity, Dak's third year, and they have not been able to close that deal. They need to make a conference championship game, at least, in my opinion, for this year to be considered a success, especially with all that talent on offense.
Kind of a high bar. We'll see. Let's head to Indianapolis, talk some Carson Wentz. He's back at practice after foot surgery less than a month ago. His coach, Frank Reich, said the feedback from Wentz's foot all positive after these last 3 days back on the field. Nick, what's the Colts ceiling if Carson Wentz is actually healthy?
Yeah, the same as it was last year. You know, sneak into the playoffs and have a very short life in the playoffs. I understand why there is respect for what Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are building and have built in Indy. I do not understand at all why there has been like under the radar Super Bowl buzz surrounding this team. They are clearly not the best team in their own division. That'll be Tennessee. They are clearly not on the level of the Chiefs or the Ravens. And so now what are we talking about? Like, could they be in the mix along with Miami, the Chargers, who am I leaving out here? The Steelers as like those third tier AFC. Could you get the extra wild card? Yeah. That's to me the ceiling, and that's if Wentz isn't one of the 3 worst quarterbacks in football this year like he was last year. But I don't think this is a Super Bowl or even AFC championship contending club with or without a healthy Carson Wentz, Brandon.
Nick, I have to disagree with you. If Carson Wentz can stay healthy, I think they can possibly, the ceiling is AFC championship. You know, with the Colts went 11-5. The Colts went 11-5 with Phillip Rivers last year. And the biggest thing about Carson Wentz was his Achilles heel in Philly was that he had no protection. I know Eric Fisher is out. His left tackle is going to be missing for the first portion of the season. But if you keep Carson Wentz upright, he can throw the ball. And another thing about quarterbacks and players in the NFL is all about confidence. In Philly, they killed his confidence just because of his injuries. He couldn't stay healthy. His receivers was always out. Now he's come to some stability. A team that has a backbone, has an identity. A coach that drafted him, know what throws he likes and what situations he likes to make these throws in. So I think he's going to be very comfortable in Indy. They have a good defense, have a balanced attack on offense. So if they can get everything going early, I think they can make a run in the AFC.
And by the way, your opinion is the far more mainstream one than mine. I'm going to call a bit of an audible. I need some help on something from my buddy Kevin Wildes, because Wildes been involved in television far longer than me. He's made shows. He knows, you know, what the hot button topics are. So you have your finger on the pulse of America. You always have. Why is Carson Wentz
like a 1B storyline player? What is the fascination with this guy? I get why Dak is. Brady, obviously. Mahomes, Rodgers. And it's like, once you're done with those guys, it's like, hey, is there Carson Wentz news? People, like, he was good 4 years ago.
Great question.
For a team that, by the way, Philly's a big market, but it's not like they are, they're the Cowboys, the Patriots. Like, what? Why is it, in your opinion, that America, A, has this odd amount of faith in Carson Wentz? They didn't fall in love with him at college. He played at North Dakota State. You know how much I care about that high school pedigree, by the way. Like, what is it? Tell me what I'm missing on the Carson Wentz simmering stove.
Oh, because we are entering Act 3 of the hero's journey with Carson Wentz. We saw the rise from humble beginnings, up, and he gets better and better, and then we saw the crash. And there's nothing more than we like doing than seeing the rise again. It's why Tebow is always interesting. Up, great, crash, back up, crash. And then, oh, are we gonna get back? Oh, back, guess what Tebow's gonna do? Maybe a little cage fighting or something. We'll be back in on it. Maybe Tebow can fight Jake Paul. Oh, we're back in. We always love the roller coaster of the narrative, and that's where we are with Carson. People want to see Carson come back. Feels like a deal. I think we got a little longing, a little Peyton Manning longing to watch the Colts be good. Feel like we felt like the Colts got kind of screwed over with Andrew Luck retiring. So I think people want to see the horseshoe kind of succeed. Right. That's my general take.
I buy that. You taught me something.
Deep peaks and valleys. Good job, Wild. Carson Wentz. Head out west, talks to Matt Stafford in a recently released article. Stafford talked about his mentality with his new team. He said this. Said, I just want to play in big games, you know. I want to have opportunities to make big time plays in the fourth quarter against really good teams in big moments. Rather than a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday somewhere. Rare. Take that, Lions. Nick, what are your expectations for Stafford's first seasons with the Rams? Well, that's where the Lions were stuck, mired in Sunday 1 p.m. for the last couple years.
Yeah, she's right. And you know one of the reasons they were stuck in that? Because the quarterback needed to play better. I am very close to doing... I don't want to say a heel turn on Matt Stafford, but this is another one that just puzzles me. Matt Stafford's good. He's a good player. He also has been, you know, a losing quarterback for the entirety of his career. Oh, Nick, it's not his fault. Okay, but how much is his fault? They were 5-11 last year. By the way, this year, I know there's the extra game. Guess what Vegas says they're going to do? They lost Matt Stafford. They had to bring in Jared Goff. Yuck. You won 5 games last year. What are you going to win this year? Vegas says 5 games. So there's an extra game, so I do the math. They're 0.2 worse. Like, what? Matt Stafford's been in the league for over a decade. He's made the Pro Bowl once. And these days, not that hard to make the Pro Bowl, especially in quarterback position where guys opt out. So I think that he is better than Goff. I think the Rams, because of the talent, particularly on defense, are going to be a good team, potentially a very good team. But this idea that, what was Matt Stafford supposed to do? I don't know. Win a playoff game with Calvin Johnson? Possibly, maybe, I don't know. What was Matt Stafford supposed to do? I don't know. Be 500. Woo. Like, I don't know. So I think this is all coming from Brandon. They did that quarterbacks list, top 10 quarterbacks in football, and it was Matt Stafford number 6. Like, number 6? He's the 6th best quarterback in the league. Okay. Like, that's fascinating. I think the hype is maybe, you know, exceeded the production at this point.
Nick, I understand what you're saying with those takes right there, but I understand what people are feeling out of Rams camp with Matt Stafford. He's a great quarterback. He's teamed up with one of the best offensive minds in the league. And all they were missing in Los Angeles with the Rams is a guy that can make the long throws, the guys that can hit guys before they come out of break. And Matt Stafford can do that. No, he wasn't successful in Detroit. But we all know, yes, Calvin Johnson made the Hall of Fame, but Detroit as a team, it was just a dark cloud on that team. Barry Sanders made the Hall of Fame from Detroit. But we never seen those great players get out of Detroit and see what they can do in another uniform, what it would have took their career to another level. With Matt Stafford being a quarterback, oh, man, we can't wait to see if his arm talent matches up with what the Rams need from him as an offense. You know, if he can make all the throws that they're counting on him to make, this team can be deadly on the offensive side of the ball.
See, I view Matt Stafford as a little bit of a parallel to like Kevin Garnett. Like, go on to a winning team, you can eventually win a championship. Oh. But nobody sort of like blamed him for his trials in Minnesota. And Nick, but what you're saying is fair. So I'm going to offer you another take. You're right there on the verge of this take, and no one's got it. And I know you like to be on take corners that you can kind of get in and own.
Yeah.
What do you think
Watch
about
this play here?
Barry
this
Sanders.
Is a sweet interception in
Barry
practice.
Sanders, run a little bit better. Barry Sanders doesn't get any slack.
No.
Yeah, Barry Sanders, run a little better.
It's
Matthew Stafford.
No.
Yeah, it's, Barry Sanders.
See, that's what everybody says. Everybody does that. They're like, oh, the Lions.
You're on there.
Sanders couldn't win there. Calvin Johnson couldn't win there. Listen, here's the thing about great quarterbacks. They're not consistently under 500. I don't care how bad the team is. If you're a great quarterback, now you might not be able to win a Super Bowl. You might have, the institutional support might be so bad that you have a very clear ceiling. But you are not. I read this whole long profile that this quote comes from, and in it is buried in it is like Matt Stafford, who if he retired today would get some consideration for the Hall of Fame. Are you out of your mind? The Hall of Fame. Like, he throws a very pretty ball that occasionally in big spots he throws directly to the other team. And I am interested to see him in a different uniform with a better coach and a better system. I am, and I think the Rams will be good. But this idea that you can play somewhere quarterback for a decade, never be good. And it's like, well, what did you want me to do? Be a little better. A little better? Win one playoff game ever? I don't know. Seems reasonable. Just seems reasonable. Maybe I'm being unfair.
So,
He's a five-star. It pains me. He was a five-star out of high school, so I really had big expectations for him. Pains me.
One segment, two quarterbacks Nick is down on, Wentz and Matthew Stafford. We'll see how it goes. Although we get to see Stafford versus Wentz week two on Fox. One of them has to win, Nick, see what happens. We'll set football aside for now, talk some Dame Lillard. Said he's staying in Portland for now, but is he really a lock to start the season there? We'll discuss that with Antoine Walker next. First things first, back here with NBA champ Antoine Walker. Twan, we're talking some Dame Lillard this morning because Dame Lillard did some talking yesterday following an offseason full of trade speculation where he's been pretty vocal about his commitment to Portland. He said this on Instagram Live, I'm not leaving Portland, not right now at least. Twan, how should Blazers fans feel about what Dame said?
I mean, they should be happy. I mean, to be honest with you, when you think about it, Dame has been very loyal to this organization. He's and Portland's been very loyal to him when you think about the compensation and what they paid him. So they should be excited. I think Dame wants to give Chauncey a chance. I think he has that much respect for Chauncey. One as a player, knowing this is going to be his first year, and to see if Chauncey can, help them get over the threshold. But it's tough. I mean, I feel for Dame because you've accomplished everything in your career, except really winning on the big stage and playing in the finals and playing for an NBA championship. So I understand his frustrations. I'm glad he's given Chauncey a chance, being he's a first-year coach, to see if he can maybe get them over the hump. But they got to be happy that he's willing to stay this year at least, because Dame has the option to really leave if he really wants to. And I think Portland can respect that because both parties have been great to each other.
Okay, Antoine. Here's the thing, and I agree with, I like the fact that Dame is giving Chauncey a chance. But part of being an NBA champion is, like Chauncey is kind of knowing if you have a championship team. And it's hard for me to believe that Chauncey looks at that roster, even with how good Dame is, and says, are we better than the Lakers? Probably not. Are we better than Phoenix? Probably not. Are we better than the Jazz? Maybe not. Are we better than Dallas? Probably not. And that's just the West. So for me, you have to be honest and be like, the best chance for Chauncey to succeed, who I want to see Chauncey succeed, I want to see Chauncey win a championship as a coach, just like Ty Lue. Ty Lue and Chauncey's are buddies. I would think it would be wonderful if they had similar paths. Player championship, coaching championship. I think it's a Ben Simmons for Dame deal. And I don't know who says no to that. Dame, Portland would be doing right by Dame by sending him to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, he gets immediately in a championship system. Ben would go to Portland, and they would have to basically restart that team and build it around Ben. Guess what Ben loves? Defense. Guess what Chauncey won his championships? Defense. Defense and team ball. Distributing the ball. It's not a star thing. Ben's not going to be like the 30-point guy. He can be just like Chauncey. All five guys will score double figures. Chauncey for Ben. Who says no, Antoine? Not Chauncey for Ben. Chauncey for Ben. Sorry. Dame for Ben. John, don't take the coach for a player.
Chauncey for Ben.
Kev, I understand what you're saying, but I don't really – the way the Eastern Conference is right now and the way Philly's constructed, I don't think going to Philly gets him into championship conversation. Don't get me wrong. I love a beam, but I still like Milwaukee. They're not better than Portland. You got very competitive teams in the East when you think about Milwaukee, Boston, Atlanta's on the upcoming. That is still gets tough in the East. It's not easy anymore. So just picking your team and saying Philly and thinking Dame is going to get you over the hump, I'm not sold on Embiid. Now, don't get me wrong. Embiid had an unbelievable year. But it's still the question marks is on Embiid. Can he get you over the hump? And can he be healthy to get you over the hump? So the grass is not always greener elsewhere. You got to make sure he goes to the right team.
All right, so a couple things. And I hate to do this to Antoine because I love to have him back and I've missed him. And I should have showed this off the air. But Antoine, you have something in your eye. I think it's a Celtic shamrock that you should take out because you're including him amongst the Eastern Conference contenders. Give me a break. But set that aside. I do think that Dame plus Embiid gets you on the very short list. Now, is that enough to be better than a healthy Brooklyn? Maybe not, but a healthy Brooklyn is like a double rainbow. You've heard about it, but have you ever actually seen one in real life? I don't know. And Milwaukee, I think, is the favorite, but we'll see what happens with Milwaukee. But I think if you have Embiid and Dame, you have two of the 12 best players in the sport. And if you have two of the 12 best players in the sport, you are in the conversation. But I do think this is actually, like, Portland fans feel relieved, while Philly fans gotta feel really bummed. Because the only way that they were going to be able to get demonstrably better was this exact trade. And I don't think Portland does Ben for Dame straight up, but I do think they do Ben and Maxey and a couple picks, or Ben and Maxey and Tybalt for Dame. Like, I think Philly has the war chest ready to make that happen. But what they're, and I think it would be good for Portland Wilds, but they're not doing it unless Dame tells them to do it. And this, to me, is not necessarily a signal Dame's going to be there all year. This is a signal, though, Dame's going to be there the first game. You can't say this and then have it change before a game is played. I don't think that's in Dame's, you know, history or character. I don't think that's what he's going to do. And so now all of a sudden for Philly, it is really going to be, can we sustain Ben Simmons playing in front of these fans to start the year? Are we willing to deal with all of that while we hold the fort trying to wait for this trade? Because if not, you can make a Ben Simmons trade today. There's a lot of teams that want it. But there is not another superstar available, and Beal's not quite a superstar, but he's a star, but he's not fully available, and Dame evidently is not available. So I think Philly hears this and is super bummed out. I think they are more bummed than Portland fans are relieved.
So Philly fans have been nothing but supportive of Ben. He misses his first free throw, they cheer him on. He misses his second free throw, they still cheer him on. He shoots a brick from three when he occasionally took one, they would cheer, make or miss. So the Philly has been so supportive of Ben. There's a narrative out there that Philly's gonna turn heel on Ben. He'll never be able. That's not true. There's no evidence for that. Just because in the 70s, Santa Claus got pelted with a battery or a snowball. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But quickly, and here's the thing about Portland. I will go harder at Portland fans. Portland, I know it's easy to be like, hey, Dame's not leaving. Portland fans should be relieved. No, they shouldn't. Portland fans are being selfish right now. If you really love Dame Lillard, and Dame Lillard has showed you so much loyalty, you know what you should say? Hey, Dame Lillard, we haven't done right by you. You should go. We love you. We'll retire your number while you're still playing. When Philadelphia comes to it, we'll retire your number early. We'll build a statue out there for it. You can pose in front of it. But they know they can't win. Why are they relieved? So they have another playoff early exit? They should root for Dame, have him go, tear the franchise down, do a little miniature teardown, bring Ben in, you got him for a long time, let Chauncey build a real team. And if you get Tybalt, holy cow, that's like mini Pistons. Chauncey's ready to go. Portland should let Dame leave. It's sad but true.
Both parties, Kev, you're right. Both parties should, you know, come to a mutual agreement. If Dame really wants out, you want to make sure, obviously, you put them in a position to win a championship. But also, Portland don't want to give their franchise player up and not get something in return to obviously keep their franchise going. Well, I do like Ben. I don't think Ben and Embiid is a good match for each other. A guy that doesn't want to shoot the ball from the point guard, point forward, however you want to say it, position, does not work well with Embiid. So if that's a situation that Dame wants to go to, you make it happen. But I think this is a situation that you talk to Dame, and kind of like the James Harden thing, where James Harden picked he wanted to be in Brooklyn. I think you give him that much credit. If he feels like it's a certain team or a super team out there where he can just join and have a legitimate championship situation, why not give him that chance? I think Dame has been fair to the organization. I think the organization has been great to him. And this is one of these rare situations in basketball. Kind of reminds me of Kevin Garnett's situation, where he was fair to Minnesota. He did all he could do for Minnesota to help them win and get them the hump. And Minnesota rewarded him with a situation to play with Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. So I think this is the same thing that you can do for Dame. You know, like I said, obviously Chauncey's my guy. Yeah. I'm going to be rooting for Chauncey this year. I want him to have an opportunity. But probably on paper, they're not a championship game, but they are a team that can be a very 5-6 seed in the Western Conference and be competitive.
Yeah, what I they think always Dame are.
But I don't think Dame wants to get bounced in the first round. You know, he wants to be able to at least get out the first round, get the second round. And I think, that's something that he wants to do. So until Portland can convince him of that, you're going to have this conversation going on all year.
And it's such an odd spot because Wilds is right. If you were to remove all emotion and all, by the way, short-term finances for a relatively speaking small market, even though the ownership's as wealthy as any people in the world, like, can you, the right move for the organization on a 100-yard view is turn the page because your ceiling is the second round of the playoffs. I know they made the conference finals a few years ago. That was an aberration. But when you're a one-sport city up in the Pacific Northwest, it is so, and you've got one of the 12 best players in the sport, who not only is one of the best players in the sport, one of the most fun players to watch because of how he plays, and a guy who causes no problems, goes about his business. If he's saying, I'm not leaving, you're not going to be like, dang, you should leave. You're just going to say thank you so much and put your arms around him, even if it's short-sighted, Jenna.
All right, let's set Dame aside, play a little Take Your Pick, Mr. King, LeBron James, catching up on my second favorite show of all time, Hard Knocks. Gave him a wonderful idea. He said this, watching Hard Knocks, incredible show, man. Every time I watch, I wish we had that as well, just for training camp preseason two. And so many fire emojis, like three was good, but clearly 13 is better. Antoine, let's push it forward. What's a better option for NBA Hard Knocks, Lakers or Nets?
Well, as much as I love LeBron and would love to get behind the scenes with AD and to see what Anthony Davis does, but there's got to be the Brooklyn Nets. With those three personalities, I think it'll be an unbelievable Hard Knocks because we don't really know Kevin Durant. You know, we know he's a little, we see some of his outbursts, the things that he does. James Harden, we don't really get to see him, in his off the court and how he handles up. And then no telling what Kyrie Irving's going to do every day. So we definitely would love to see that. So I like the Nets over the Lakers if we had to go to a Hard Knocks.
Okay. I like the Lakers, but here's the secret sauce of Hard Knocks. If you go and think about your favorite Hard Knocks moments, they rarely involve the big stars of the team. They often involve the fringe players who are getting cut. That's very different from how the NBA works. Hard Knocks is not an all-access show, which LeBron is asking for. Hard Knocks is actually Survivor. At its best, Hard Knocks is Survivor, where you have a lot of drama going on, who survives, and then you have like the final council or whatever they call it, and someone gets cut and they have to pack up their stuff and leave. That's the secret sauce of that. And without that dynamic in the NBA, the show is just an all-access. So that's why Hard Knocks will always be here and all-access shows will always be there.
Okay, that was a master's level. Okay, yeah. Never mind. You know what?
Yeah.
Bleep me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. I was about to give Wilds a compliment.
Yeah, you got nothing to follow that up with.
How fascinating that dissertation was, but never mind.
Antoine, thank you so much. We got to move on and talk some 49ers because that's the video we're seeing. Did Jimmy G spill the beans yesterday on who has won the starting QB job? We'll fill you in next. First things first.
Wilds,
Nick Wright, I tell you, he's really coming together as a young talent. He's got a nice little tan. You've been dressing well lately. You've got really...
Young talent.
Really?
Kids in high school. Young talent. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Just real quick before I go. I know I'm late. Can you at some point in the remaining 2 hours of the show explain how you were able to avoid... those pitfalls of when you come into opulent wealth still grinding every day? Because you talk about how it happens to people, and then you're like, but me, you know, don't worry. I want to hear that part of the story. That's all.
See if I can sneak it in. I got some baseball segments.
Okay, thanks.
They're getting a good taste.
I like it.
It's even better.
He's such a doofus.
Back here with Brandon Flowers, he might say the same thing. Talking the 49ers now, quarterback battle, Trey Lance, Jimmy G, both look pretty good in the preseason. Who's going to be under center week one? Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G might have spilled the beans yesterday. Take a listen to this.
No, you won't tell us who, but have you decided on a week one start?
I got a pretty good idea, but as you guys can see with everything, I don't know our schedule a couple days from now. I've always had a pretty good idea. But, you know, there's lots of days between now and then at every position.
Kyle said he had a pretty good idea to be the starting quarterback in week one. Do you have a pretty good idea?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
When you're smiling about it, that must mean something, right?
It's whatever he decides, yeah. I have a pretty good idea. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now and everything. And just the offense as a whole. Kyle's the head man. He'll make the call.
So just to recap, do not play poker with that guy. Wilds, Jimmy G is your guy, but would Kyle Shanahan regret choosing Jimmy G over Trey Lance?
What? What? I'm going to go the other way with this, Jenna.
A lot of people love Trey.
I'm going to say the answer is yes. I do love Trey. He's a friend of the show. He was on the show. Brandon, I'm going to say yes. If Kyle Shanahan, and I don't even know if this is allowed by the NFL bylaws, is playing fantasy football in a group of his college buddies and some of his high school buddies, and he's like, you know what, second round, I'm going to take Jimmy G. I think he would regret that. If we're playing fantasy football, I think it would be a bad pick. But you know what? We're not. We're playing real football. We're winning games actually matters. And you know what? If you got to hand the ball off most of the time and it wins the game, well, that matters, okay? I know all the analytics are, he's no good. I know he went to the Super Bowl, but that doesn't count. He wasn't really in the Super Bowl. It's a figment of our imagination. It's an NFT that he went to the Super Bowl. I think it's there, but I'm not sure. He went to the Super Bowl, okay? Just like Patrick Mahomes to the Super Bowl, they both lost. For the record, Kyle Shanahan is 7-27 when Jimmy G is not his starter, okay? Not awesome. Not awesome. He is 22-8 when Jimmy G starts. So yes, Trey Lance is the future. I get it. You spent a lot of draft capital on him. But Jimmy G wins football games. And if you look at the 49ers schedule, if he can get through that rough patch early on, Jimmy G is going to be the quarterback of this team for not a long time, but at least through the season. If he starts losing games, sure, that's not his thing. But I don't think he will. I think he'll be the quarterback throughout the season. I think it will be more akin to Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes. After the end of the season, Jimmy G can go somewhere wonderful and win some games, and Trey Lance will take over. So no, I don't think he will regret it, is the shorter answer, Jenna.
I agree with you, Wiles. He would definitely not regret this decision. Like you pointed, Wiles, he's 22-8 as a starter. The only knock on Jimmy G really is, can he stay healthy? And he's not going to wow you. He's not going to throw for 350 yards a game because he came from learning from Tom Brady. If he's going to hand the ball off and throw dink and dunk routes down the field, that's what he's going to do. All he's going to do is win games. His stats is not going to be pretty and it's not going to be sexy. But while he's out there going over these checkdowns and throwing to the tight end, the Kittles on short out routes, you can best believe Shanahan will be telling Trey Lance in his ear, like, listen, I know he threw it to the tight end here, but I want you to throw the long ball. This is what I brought you in for. So Jimmy G is going to get his reps. He's going to play all year. He's going to win if he stays healthy. But Trey Lance is going to be getting tutored by Shanahan on the sideline on what he wants Trey Lance to do once he steps on the field. It kind of reminds me when Alex Smith went to the NFC Championship, and yes, he's a winner, but Harbaugh still liked what Kaepernick was going to bring to the team when it comes to being more explosive as an offense. So, yes, Jimmy G is going to be the start. He's not going to regret it, but they can't wait to make that switch to be more explosive as an offense.
Yeah, so I think this will surprise Wilds, because Wilds is forever in love with Jimmy G, and I am not quite so much. But I don't think he'll regret this either. What I think needs to happen for this to be successful is for Kyle Shanahan to be more flexible than the great and Super Bowl champion Andy Reid was in that season that Wilds is alluding to. Because in that season, that was a very good Chiefs team that had been to the playoffs years prior. They were like, Mahomes isn't ready. And then the out of practice, it kept week by week. Most people didn't see this, obviously, because nobody cared about the Chiefs back before Mahomes started playing. And people aren't reading the Kansas City Star, but I am. I'm from there. Every week, it was like, wow, this kid is getting better and better. And Alex Smith was Alex Smith. And the Chiefs started off well and then went into a slump. And then they go into the playoffs and there's no real Super Bowl threat at all because you knew they were limited at the quarterback position and they end up losing to Marcus Mariota in Kansas City in round one. I say all that to say this. I think most people feel like Jimmy G will start all year unless he gets hurt and then they'll give it to Trey Lance. I don't think you should need some massive losing streak in order to potentially turn the reins over. I just think you need to see enough from Trey in practice to know the moment's not going to be too big for him. That even if the Niners are 7-4, if Trey Lance is all like, okay, he's got the playbook now. Because also keep in mind, didn't really play last year because of the COVID stuff. He's from a small school. So I do think that the jump is going to be massive. I just think Shanahan, if what I know is the Niners can't win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know Wild's like, but they almost did. Yeah, they almost did, and they didn't. And maybe, by the way, the Niners that year could have won the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. Team's not as good. They're not. They don't have quite the same weapons on either side of the balls they had the year they went to the Super Bowl, and their defense is not as dominant, and Robert Saleh's gone, and DeForest Buckner's gone. Like, it's not the same team. So you're going to need more out of your quarterback. So I just think he needs the flexibility of, even if we're playing well, once I know, I know. And if that makes Jimmy G upset, so be it. He'll still have, you know, you writing him love letters to soften the blow.
So Brandon, I think it's weird. If we can throw up the schedule again, if he wins those games against some great quarterbacks and then have the bye, that would be the natural time to bring Trey Lance in. But if he beats the Packers and he beats the Seahawks and he beats Kyler Murray, I don't know how you're like, all right, let's bring Trey Lance in. Trey's been playing great to play a great defense against the Colts. Or do you want to play Khalil Mack? Or are you going to play the Rams? Like, I don't know when you bring him in. And we know Brian Flores did this. Fitzpatrick was winning, but he felt like a one-year rental, and Tua was the future. Flores still made the move. We're like, huh, kind of a head-scratcher. Fitzpatrick was winning. He was a pro about it. But then as the year went on, all of a sudden, there's the old switcheroo. Tua's back on the bench. Fitzpatrick's in on the fourth quarter. Now, look, Tua doesn't seem any worse for wear, and Fitzpatrick's doing well in Washington. But it was an odd situation. So the question I have for you is this. if Jimmy G is winning, do you think it's too weird to take out a winning quarterback and bring in a rookie?
It would definitely be weird because this isn't, like you mentioned, a Ryan Fitzpatrick situation. Every team Ryan Fitzpatrick been to for the last 5 years knew he was pretty much going to be a rental. Jimmy G was brought in to be the franchise guy. So if he's winning, Shanahan knows this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. I think he will want to have Jimmy G have a very successful season where his trade value will go up even more and just say, hey, next year, that's when we will ride Trey Lance. We'll get so much capital for Jimmy G because he finished the season. You seen where he took us in the playoffs. Now we can go with our young guy, Trey Lance, and we can also get a draft pick or some collateral, some players for Jimmy G once he had a great season this year.
That's a fair point, and that is what the Chiefs did. And they ended up getting a good return for Alex Smith. And maybe this is just the bitterness is the wrong word, but the longing as a Chiefs fan. I feel like Mahomes' rookie year, they could have gone to the Super Bowl if they would have made that quarterback switch. Now, Trey Lance isn't Patrick Mahomes, but I still feel like that was a missed opportunity. And also, Jenna, I know you were speaking euphemistically, but you said poker, so it piqued my interest. Just to be clear, if Jimmy Garoppolo is watching, I would not rob a bank with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I would absolutely play poker with him. Super rich guy that you can read exactly his face. Yeah, come on. You're invited every time. We can do it at B-Flo's house in South Florida in the offseason. He's the perfect poker guy. You're invited to all the games, Jimmy. You got all the money in the world, and I know exactly what's going on. Yeah, yes. Yeah, he can
join us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll invite Marty to the poker game. It'll be fantastic. Nick and Marnie and other people. Okay, so the Niners quarterback situation may be figured out. Jacksonville Jaguars definitely figured out. They're going with Trevor Lawrence. Is he just getting started on his road to superstardom? Talk about that next. Thank you, Brandon. Hey, next Thursday night, the reigning Big Ten champs kicking off the season in primetime. Number 4, the Ohio State, taking on Minnesota, 7:30 Eastern. That's on Fox. You can always watch it on the Fox Sports app. Time now for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Oh,
okay. Oh boy, we got ourselves a quarterback controversy in New England. And Coach Mangini, who's with us this morning, this one is a doozy. We haven't said that in a long time up there in New England. Pats and Giants with their joint practice yesterday where Mac Jones reportedly lit it up. What do I mean by that? Well, Patriots beat writer Tom Curran, who was there yesterday, said this. There's no on-field reason for Cam Newton to ever take a meaningful regular season snap for the Patriots while Mac Jones is upright and able. Let that sink in. The week-to-week, day-to-day, play-to-play competency of Jones for the past 3 weeks has, in my estimation, and those of most of the people watching every rep, he likes to talk to everybody, put to bed all debate about who is the better quarterback for the Patriots in 2021. Jones's performance Wednesday in the Patriots' 150-minute joint practice with the Giants, it tucked the debate in and turned out the light. Woo! Nick, Cam Newton returns from COVID protocol today. Bill Belichick said this morning all the QBs will get work at practice. But, and this is a big but, has Mac Jones officially won the QB competition with Cam?
Oh, I don't think he's officially won the quarterback competition, but if he does end up winning it, we are of course going to look to these few days as when the momentum shifted. Cam was coming off of a very good, very efficient preseason game where his arm looked the best it had looked arguably since the Seattle game at the very beginning of last year. And then a total unforced, unnecessary error by Cam knocks him out for almost a week. And I know it's very in vogue these days for very successful people to get online and tell young people who are trying to become successful, guys, the most important thing always is, you know, taking time for yourself and use your vacation days and take the weekend to unwind and get mentally prepared. Okay, yeah, maybe. But ask those successful people how they got to where they were, and it's usually like, oh my God, I didn't take a vacation for 4 years. Grinded every day, never missed a day of work, worked. And that's not that unlike the NFL. Sometimes you don't show up for whatever reason, and when you come back, it's like, hey, that used to be my locker. That used to be my job, and now someone else is in it. And so, Coach, Cam Newton was in a really good position. He then opened the door for someone else to get all those reps, for someone else to get all the attention while he is watching via Zoom. So I won't have a lot of sympathy for Cam if he loses his job because of this, because this is his own doing. And I do think this is the road we are traveling down to Cam losing his job.
Well, we all know that writers have never jumped to conclusions on players. And so, you know, obviously whatever observation he made in the 150-minute practice, I don't know why the 150-minute practice, like why that the minute count is important, but whatever. And I don't know what videos you're watching of successful people who say that work ethic isn't the most important thing. You're not watching any video out of New England, that's for sure. Now, when you look at this, he worked against the Giants, and is this an indication of how bad the Giants secondary is or how bad the Giants defense is? Could it also be a factor that the Giants defense looks a lot like the New England defense, so there's a little bit more familiarity, and maybe that's why it looks better than it typically has, because he's been practicing against it throughout training camp and the coaches know how to beat it? I mean, that could be a factor too. And this is a long-standing evaluation or a long-term evaluation. It's not based off of one day. It's based off of all the days that have gone up to this point, where they are in terms of their progress. And to try to simplify it down to 150 minutes, it's just not realistic. Did Cam lose an opportunity to continue to show that he should be the starter by making the choice he did? Yeah, but is there any lock that this rookie quarterback is going to start because he had a good day against, you know, a team that he has probably more familiarity with than we're giving him credit? No.
So, Coach, I appreciate it because you know that Mac Jones's star was shining so bright. Your attempt to dim it for my behalf because my corneas were burning. I had to wear these sunglasses. They're medical issued from my ophthalmologist. I think that's an eye doctor. I'm not 100% sure. But I just want to dig into some of the issues here that were burned. That I was like, oh, the shine is too bright. If we can show some more quotes, Katanic, if we can. I'll just read off some of the bright, shiny reviews. Oh, Mac meeting the moment from Mike Reese. Oh, that was a good one. I think we also get some stats here. Oh, he's shredding the Giants. Oh, he's shredding them up. Put him in the paper shredder. Sorry, Joe Judge, lap it up. 18 consecutive completions. I'll take that. Thank you, Athletic Joe Howe. And what else do we have? We have one final one. Oh, it's a surgeon. Oh, he's like a surgeon. Oh, my goodness. He's like a surgeon. My IFB popped out. I was so excited. So, Coach, I appreciate you trying to dim the star. But I haven't seen reviews like this since, Patty Mahomes was in Kansas City lighting up the practice. And everyone started to say, hey, maybe the veteran's not our guy. Maybe it's the first round pick that we should go with. So, for me, this is Mac Jones time.
So, love
Cam.
I
still think we're
going to
see sets with Cam. But we got young Patty Mahomes here.
Headlines are great.
IFB is out.
I mean, headlines are great. I just remember a headline when we first got to New England that said the Patriots will regret hiring Belichick, and that was a headline. So, you know, you can take headlines for whatever they're worth. Media. You know what I mean? And it's great to get the fan base excited.
And I remember this from our friend Brian Baldinger with the last time we had a preseason 2 years ago, saying the best rookie quarterback so far out of all of them has been Ryan Finley. So I don't know if Mahomes-esque is necessarily the way to go on this. However, here's what I do know about New England. They are triply incentivized for Mac Jones to win this job. He is on a long-term contract. Cam is not. He's a decade younger than Cam. And Coach, I think other people are going to brush this off as totally irrelevant, but you having been someone to know a very intimate knowledge about how tightly New England can hold the purse strings at times, let's not forget this part about Cam's contract. It is so heavily incentive laden, mostly about playing time, that the Patriots will have extra a few million cap dollars to roll over to next year if Cam's not the starter, because he won't hit any of the playing time incentives. So I agree with you, Coach, that we might be making too much out of, you know, one great practice. But the fact that Mac Jones was the only guy who was able to get these reps, I think absolutely matters.
When you go on a crazy spending spree like New England did, Cam Newton's incentives are rounding error. They are a rounding error. And if you think he's going to give you the best chance to make that other $150 million you spend that much better, then it doesn't matter whether or not he hits his incentives.
Yeah, but what probably I would imagine, Jenna, does matter is if they worry he's going to have another absence like this during the year, that the vaccinated Mac Jones is far less to have to deal with.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.